You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Blue White Breakdown, the premier podcast for all things Penn State football.
Talk about culture. It's something that should show up in every aspect of your program.
It's the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live.
Guys, this is a very special Blue White Breakdown podcast.
You know what I've never done, Bob, before? I've never had a jack during the podcast.
Jones is getting emotional right now as we speak. This could be the last one. I'm not sure. We're doing this live.
Social Security called yesterday.
I
was waiting on this.
This is never going to be a 20-minute podcast.
They called yesterday. I'm out a week from tomorrow. So it is the last.
I mean, you're going to work after today?
If you want to call it work.
So deflating. Anyway, this is the last one. Last Penn State Blue White Breakdown podcast. Bob Flounders, Dave Jones, Johnny McGonigal. We're in Mechanicsburg.
Yeah.
Dave, congratulations. You finally made it to Mechanicsburg after 35 years.
Yeah. Doesn't Joe live here? Doesn't Hermit live here?
He lives around here. Yeah. Okay. But you finally made it to Mechanicsburg. Is it everything you would expect, Mechanicsburg?
I don't really like golf. I lived on a golf course. I lived on Valley Green. I don't really like golfers. I think you know that. But
yeah. I always.
So you're not like me though.
Yeah. Oh, you golf?
I'm not a good one.
I always had it in my mind.
Neither were they.
Dave's wife Annie is here. I'm trying to visualize him on a golf course it's a dogleg right par 5.
Right.
In Edders, Valley Green.
Number four.
I'm trying to visualize the conversation that went down when somebody sliced it into Dave's yard and then had the audacity to walk out of bounds into your yard and pick it up with you looking at it.
Bob, they didn't slice it. They purposely tried to cut off the corner.
And
Anna would tell you, she's right over there, when one of those balls hit the house, it went wham! I mean, it was...
How angry did you get, Dave?
You're usually
good at keeping it together.
You can't get angry at golfers for missing shots. But what angered me, and I actually wrote a column about that, was them coming in their yard, in your yard, in your backyard, to search for ball. And then one
it's
day.
It's a no-no. You don't do
you
that.
You don't do that.
You don't do that now.
Did it ever get physical?
Well, I'll tell you what did happen.
It definitely got physical. There,
one morning. And, you know, newspaper people have late nights, and we go to bed late. Anna and I used to have a joke that it's 3:41.
You guys used to have house parties. I was at a couple of them.
It seemed like 3:41 was like, every time we looked at the clock, when we went to bed, it was 3:41 a.m. But that's newspaper people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get up at 10 or 11, and that was our life. But there's one day, this guy, he's about 22, just this doofus.
Just got to wind him up and he
walks. Walks
the beauty of the podcast.
He walks all the way. And mind you, it's like 30 yards from the fence of the fourth fairway to our house.
Like,
he walks all the way in toward the house to right where the master bedroom is.
Yeah.
Right there, right at the window. And he's yelling up to his buddy because he found his ball next to the bedroom window. He's yelling up to Buddy, where's the pin? Is it there or there?
Which pin placement is it?
Yeah, because you can't see it because of the green light. Yeah.
Barely remember this story.
This is 30 years ago. It's Valley Green Country Club. Because we're not really used to living on a golf course. We thought it would be fun to live on a golf course.
Yeah.
But these are
public. But you don't like golf.
There's public golfers, and I didn't know the difference between country club golfers and public golf.
Yeah.
These guys are basically all drunk. They are. Yeah. not like here at Armitage, which is a very nice.
Oh, yeah.
I just saw Jamie Flowers. I couldn't believe it. I didn't see Jamie Flowers in like 20
years. Flowers, you couldn't win pick the winner of a Rocky fight. You said that to me in 1995. So, I fell over.
So I undo the window. I crank up on the window.
Yeah.
And the guy is standing right there. And I don't even think I had underpants on. I'm getting out of bed. It's 9 a.m.
Winnie the Pooh status?
And I turn the blinds, and he's like a little stunned.
Yeah.
But I say,
Nick's coming right for you.
I say, what are you doing? And he goes like this. He goes, the dumbest expression I've ever seen in my life. He goes,
how are you?
Hitting it.
Hello, greatness. How are you? Look who it is.
Oh, it's you, a special guest star. I said, what if I hit you?
Yeah. A special guest star.
Nick, you're interrupting
Nick
the
Horvath.
Tape.
What?
Well, say hello.
You're on the podcast right now.
It's not in frame right now.
He wandered in. Yeah, you're going to have to come in now.
Bite in a little.
It's going to be like the Fox anchor desk.
We'll wake
Janet, could you give Nick a...
Yeah.
Get the king a chair, please.
Yeah.
This is...
Come on, Nick.
Have you ever done a podcast, Nick?
No.
Well, you have now. You are now. Yeah. So,
Dave, you know what I'm going to say to him right now?
What? We were reliving the golf course, the Valley Green golf course story.
Yeah.
And the guy, the column.
Very even tempered with somebody hit it into his yard. That's the summation.
He's coming in to get the ball.
Nick, here's one for you. Dave, have at this. Nick Horvath, the year was 2002. A young Penn State running back was in the Heisman Trophy race.
Oh, yeah.
Larry Johnson Jr. ran for 2,000 yards.
Oh, wait.
Nick Horvath looked at me late in the season, I think after he had been invited to the Heisman ceremony, did one of these with his pencil, and he goes, Flounders, serviceable back.
all he did the next 2 years, what was it in the NFL, was run for 1750.
Not right away.
Consecutive
That's
seasons.
What my favorite stories did. You just stuck to your guns the whole time.
Well, you know what? He had 475 yards against Purdue, Northwestern, and Indiana, and 28 against Michigan
and Ohio State. Yeah.
Help him out, Bob. I think he needs some help.
We'll get a cup. We're going to get a cup.
He hasn't worn one of these either.
I didn't know I walked into a podcast.
You're kind of like force. I'm like, all right.
No, they said Jones is over there.
Anyway,
congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Explain to the
well
people.
Well deserved.
I mean, the podcast people that
some
are
of the,
Nick
some
Horvath.
The younger audience Nick might not Horvath. Know that Nick Horvath was
my the first sports, boss at the Patriot News.
The sports editor until 2009. Is that right?
Yeah.
December.
From 1938 until 2009, he was the sports editor. And
1938.
There was a,
that was close. They all run together with me too. Yeah. The years, you know.
So when I just have to interject this. This is one of my members at U2. I came on the scene in 1993 when the office was at Market Street. You were living in Eders. Nick had just hired me away from East Rest Times. There was a smoke room there, and just about once a week. A huge shouting match would erupt in the smoke room. Huge! And it was always the same two people.
Who?
It was
me?
You and you.
Well,
you could have been talking about anything, big deal.
It could have been his...
And then 10 minutes later, you guys, it was like it never happened.
It could have been his office, too.
Yeah.
Because back then, well, you will never admit this, but you would just pick fights about twice a year, and we've talked about this. You would pick fights twice a year just basically on principle, just to stand us at attention and remind us that we have to be on an edge, that we have to be on an edge.
Head, I don't think he's...
He knows it's true. Am I wrong or not?
I'm not saying that. No comment.
Go ahead. Nick, this is Johnny McGonigal.
Nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you.
I read your stuff.
Thank you.
You do well. Bob Flounders saved my life, you know, and I was thinking about...
The Rose Bowl story. When everyone had food poisoning.
Oh,
This guy, Johnny, this is a true story.
Yeah.
2008 Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. We're at the Media Hotel. It's in downtown Los Angeles.
Food poisoning.
The water was contaminated. Anyone who had the lunch and had ice cubes, food poisoning.
The
Joe Herman almost died. Frank and Danny almost died. All these guys barely made it to the game. Glenn Mason looked like he needed to go to the hospital.
I think I served up Glenn Mason's drink, by the way.
People were down for like 4 days. This guy had it as bad as anyone. He was eating that night.
Yeah.
He was in the media room.
That's an absolute freaking trooper.
Yeah.
You couldn't get to Penn State and back without Nick stopping, wanting to stop off. And I'm a kid. I'm your age.
Yeah.
And I got to do what he said.
Right.
And he wants to stop off for maybe a piece of pie.
Three-fourths
of the pie would be gone.
Soup,
an hour later.
Order a chicken finger, pastrami sandwich.
Sounds good.
I got like a speck of carrot like stuck in my window.
Yeah, they always complained about the stuff. I got to get home. No, I'm hungry, man. We got to stop.
Nick, how's your golf game? Can I ask?
Terrible.
Are you hustling anyone anymore?
No, I can't even hit the ball anymore. But I really slowed up. But I'm hanging in there.
Yeah. Fort Chapman's here.
Is he?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
He's here.
He never stops talking.
Kenny Shanks.
Yeah, I saw Kenny. I talked to him on the phone. I remember those orange bottles that you had when I was...
It was Gator G2.
Yeah, G2.
Yeah.
He had four bottles on the bed rack.
And like
I drank them all.
Like a flower, you came back to life and started eating them.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Everyone else is in the hospital.
Yeah.
Well, it was bad. I mean, it was the worst food poisoning a lot of people have ever had.
Is there anything you want to get off your chest one last time?
Yeah, Nick. Here's my beef.
Well, you know, let me just say this, to be clear. You always...
to be clear.
Before you even say anything.
you always had me down wrong, like I really relished confrontation.
Of course.
I really didn't.
Yeah. It was just you.
I just took my part.
Okay.
But,
Well, Nick used to always start meetings. Now, how did he start meetings if he wanted to bring up a gripe with
you? All right. I'm going to do all the talking. You're going to do all the listening.
Two things are going to be true here. I'm going to be doing the talking, and you're going to be doing the listening.
That is.
And if you ever tried to interrupt, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes down the line, you'd say, "Are you through yet?" And then he'd say,
"No, you'd say that.
No, I'm just getting started." and that's the way it went. But then the great thing about Nick was in that office, you could do that. Where else could you yell at your boss
As far as I can remember, Dave, you were the only one that would get into shouting match.
Fred Sprunk
told him to bite me, Nick. Are you kidding? You weren't there yet.
Let's not forget about Slugger the Nasty.
I forgot about him.
Yeah. You know, I loved it Friday night when everybody is thrown to the wall at 11 o'clock.
Santa Weekly.
And I come walking by leisurely. This isn't a weekly. And everybody would curse under their breath. I loved it.
Friday nights, for people who don't really know anything about that world, are chaos in a great way. I mean, if you have never worked on a Friday night at a newspaper or even a website, high school football is crazy. And Saturdays are the same thing in a different way because there's multiple deadlines, except we were at games and not in the office. But the office atmosphere is charged. And everyone's working as fast as they can. And if people aren't, you got to go and get them and say, "Hey, I need that box. I need it now."
Yeah.
And sometimes they're kids like you, and they don't want to screw up.
Yeah.
And if you look at them and say, "I don't mean in 5 minutes, I mean now," you know, there's that kind of, you can't do that anymore in a news organization,
no.
I don't think.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, the one thing we have when I think back, we had a great staff. I had no problems off the field. I didn't have drunks. I didn't have alcoholics. I didn't have people coming in late. And we had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Nick.
I had a lot of fun.
Dave and I have a question for you.
What?
I'll just throw it to Dave since it's his day. And we're winding this up. Dave, you and I both shared a bond. We both had the privilege on Friday nights of covering a high school football game, filing it, and then driving 3.5 hours to Pittsburgh.
You did that too?
Yeah. To cover the Pit Panthers.
You did that?
Yes.
You did it after I did it.
I did not remember that.
So you took over in 92?
It was the 93 season. Curtis Martin was on the team.
Yeah.
But what was it like driving pitch black with some fog, checking into a hotel room at 3:30 in the morning.
Did you guys just used to cover Pitt?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Home games.
You know why?
Yeah.
We're a capital city. And we had people from there, Western PA.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That was a true test.
I mean, if I was in Allentown, I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
I was in Scranton.
Right. Yeah, but so I was a couple of hours in the state. That makes sense.
I could pretty much do anything. What's you that? Know what I mean? The turnaround?
We would cover a high school game, write it, bust ass out of there, but you couldn't leave before 11.
Yeah.
And then you're driving 3 hours and 15 minutes to Pittsburgh. You roll into the beautiful Howard Johnson, where the air conditioner or the heater goes like every 10 minutes. And then you get maybe 6 hours sleep if you're lucky, probably more like four. And then you march up Heartbreak Hill up to Pitt Stadium, which it no longer exists.
Yeah,
because it's the Peterson
Heartbreak Hill. Right? I remember that. Yeah.
It's the Peterson Center.
So we've all covered the Pitt Panthers.
Yeah.
Well, we're trying to drive that.
Yeah, I was covering Pitt for the Post Gazette. I was in Hines Field. Yeah, I also lived in Shadyside, so it was like a 15-minute drive for me.
You finished
not
that
quite 3 hours,
and you come back. But look, we had a great job. Yeah. I mean, I had a great job. Yeah. Nick sent me. I brought all these. Look at this stuff. I mean, I got to do stuff that you couldn't do.
I just like the headshots.
Anywhere.
I'm here for the headshots, Dave.
I'm here for the headshots too.
Megan,
can we zoom in on this headshot?
I got to fly an F-16, and I don't mean sit in it. I mean that was the days when they gave you the stick, and you could actually fly it.
It's like Letter Rip King.
Yeah, when Mark Brennan said you didn't fly it, I said, yeah, I did.
This isn't going out anywhere, is it?
Do stuff like that.
Dave, how did you manage to land Anna looking like that in that? I don't understand.
And how did you manage to land the plane?
Which one? Look at all of them. I'm not a bad-looking guy.
No, there was one in there that was this one.
I look like Top Gun.
The Indiana game. Where's the Indiana paper?
There's one of them there. Here.
Yeah, there you go.
What about that?
That's what I was talking about.
This is what. See if you can zoom in on that. That's my first Patriot News headshot in 1989.
Yeah.
You got that?
Yeah.
I don't know. She saw quality when she knew quality when she saw it.
Oldest headshot I could find of
you. All right. You guys want to wrap this up? Nick, you got to see some people. Dave, you got to see a lot of people.
Yeah, Dave.
We're holding back a little bit because there's going to be a party and I'm going to speak at it. I got some things to say to Dave.
I cannot wait.
I cannot wait. Cannot be repeated on a podcast. So I'm holding back a little bit, but.
Can I tell one Dave Jones story before we close?
Please do.
Now's the time if you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Make it.
Dave was never a problem in the office, intra-office, journalistically. He was at the bottom of the list for giving me problems in that regard. Off the field, he was number one problem. I get a call from him. He goes to the NIT to cover Penn State.
Oh, he's going to go with that.
He goes to the NIT to cover Penn State.
Yeah.
Company car. He has to finish that, drive back, go to BWI, and fly to San Antonio to cover the semifinals of the NCAA. I get a call on Friday afternoon, late in the morning. It's Dave. The company car broke down on exit 52.
In the Lehigh Valley.
It's right out of Allentown, and I got to get to BWI. I got to catch this flight. I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, Dave, what exit is it on? 52. Okay. So I got to get Bob Black and another got rest
and
his soul.
And there's your problem right there.
No. May rest in peace. And a part-timer. And I said, you guys got to go to Allentown and get this car. They go up there. 2 hours later, I get a call. Hey, I'm at exit 52. There's no car. See?
And then David Newhouse got involved, I believe.
The whole crew got involved.
They were your benefactor.
You know, here comes the executive editor, and the publisher, hey, Nick, what's going on? You got one of your guys, he lost the car, this, the that, blah, blah, blah.
I'm trying to get Jones
on the phone before he gets to the airport.
Tell this story at the party.
So I said to Jones, I said, how did you get the BWI? He said, well, I got out with my suitcase on the gravel, and I started hitchhiking, and a guy picked me up, and guess where he was going? I said, I don't know where. Right outside of BWI. Took me right down. I didn't believe the story because, you know, it's the biggest story.
You got it wrong. It doesn't matter. You got to write this whole thing.
But what I didn't get wrong was I had to call the state police in PA. I had to call the state police in New Jersey. And finally, they located the car, not at exit 52. But an exit 52 in New Jersey. 2 days later.
This is fabricating now.
Yeah. Not fabricated.
I will fill in the gaps with some accuracy because newspapers should be about accuracy.
He told me a guy picked me up and he took me to BWI.
That's what I'm.
What a great percentage.
This is what actually happened.
It's minuscule.
This is what actually happened. I was playing Paul Alexander in a game of one-on-one at the Downtown Athletic Club, which was vacant. And Paulie actually got a court because there was nobody in the place.
Yeah.
And it had kind of gone chapter 11 or something. And he's the only guy in their room, rooms. They had rooms. They had like a hotel.
This incredible gym.
Yeah. So we play this knock-dang, drag-out game of one-on-one that lasts five games. I win on the last shot, banking in a three, which didn't seem fair. Then I get in the car.
So this is a serious story.
I've got to get, and Anna is with me in New York, but she's going to hang out a little bit with one of her friends.
Yeah.
And she'll be right behind me. So I've got our Nissan. I've got the company car. She's got the Nissan Sentra, our car.
It's a long function here. We don't need the Gettysburg address.
It doesn't matter. I am quitting a week from tomorrow. I'm going to take my time on this. All right? Do you mind? All right? This is the last story.
This is my last eye roll.
This is 1998. I'm going to San Antonio. I have to get on that flight that goes to Austin from Harrisburg, or I'm not going to make it there. It's late afternoon on Friday, and the games start on Saturday. I have to make that flight. I get run off the highway on 78 or whatever that is. By some girl who's not watching where she's going, and
idiot.
I get a flat tire. I get a flat tire. I have to limp it up the berm for like a mile. Like a mile. Like the object is to get to my assignment. Yeah. Right? Nothing's gonna happen to the car. I get out of the car. I'm going, what am I going to do?
Did you put one of those like plastic bags in the windshield?
I'm thinking Anna. She's right behind me. She said she was going to be right behind me. Well, she wasn't right behind me.
Okay.
And I waited and waited and waited like 45 minutes, and I'm looking for that. It's like a 8-lane highway outside of Allentown. And I'm looking for that red Sentra. Nothing. And then some third shift prison guard stops by the side of the, and asks me what's going on. And he's a young black guy. And I tell him the story, and he goes, I'll take you. And I said, you're kidding me. You would do that? You would do that? He said, well, let me go home and talk to my girlfriend. And so I'm actually with this guy. I have no way to get this tire fixed.
Yeah.
And make the airport in BWI. I can't possibly do it. I've got to make that flight at like 6:40 p.m. So I let him, he's taken me into his apartment. He tells his girlfriend and she says,
You're doing what?
And so he gets in the car. It's like 83.
I always think about this.
And we're busting ass down 83. And he's taking me all the way to Harrisburg, where I have my car.
I think about that story, too.
And I jump, I hop out and say, I'll get you everything I can from San Antonio, or any kind of paraphernalia.
Yeah.
I'll get you everything. I get in the car. It's Harrisburg rush hour. I'm on 83 South, and now I'm getting stuck in this.
Where's Anna?
I get to the Beltway.
It's right there.
The Beltway of BWI. And I am thinking, I am never going to make it. I'm never going to make it. It's 1998, mind you. It's pre-9/11.
Yeah.
So I have a chance. I've got like 40 minutes before my flight takes off.
Yeah.
I get on the radio and it says the Beltway is all jammed up, and I'm going, I'm pounding the steering wheel, you know. I actually got to BWI probably 15 minutes before my flight was supposed to take off.
Where's Dave's son?
The car is rolling.
He's in the Phillies.
Rolling to a stop. And I get out of the car. I run up to the ticket counter and say, Austin. And they do this, they give me the ticket and say, run, B6. I run as fast as I can. I get on the plane by like 3 minutes. They're closing the door.
Yeah.
I sit down and I have made that damn flight. Nice. And I don't care that the car is out there someplace. I'm just happy that I made it. I'm going to get to San Antonio.
Who won the title that year?
Kentucky, Utah play Kentucky. Yeah.
Dave, it's been great talking Penn State football with you on this podcast. I think we've all enjoyed it. It's time to get to some drinking and some speeches.
I got to get a drink.
My man.
Thank you, guys.
Get it? Awesome. And also, you're able to vent and get that. Now I know the story. I only knew parts of it. And hopefully Nick will never wind your watch like that again. He just looked at me and said, I did that on purpose.
This has been the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live.